WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, Time of Useful Consciousness, airs every Thursday at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfability Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
Wow, there's such like a big, there's like one big explosive beat at the end. And I decided, usually I'm so stoked about the show hearing that music, I don't even let it play out. And now I let it play out and it went into some sort of random commercial. Anyway, I can't win. Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht in the studio with my favorite sidekick, etc., Linda Evans.
Hi.
Hey, Linda.
Yay. And we got to see some theater in town recently. So
that's
that was
hard to
exciting.
Believe. It is exciting. Well, in town and the making of theater out of town. We've got a lot of things to talk about.
We
There's lots of stuff coming up.
Yeah. It's just us today. But I think we have plenty to talk about without having someone else on.
Yeah, we didn't even promote today's show, which I feel kind of bad about.
So we're just super busy.
Do we have people?
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So I imagine that people were waiting, like watching, hitting refresh on Facebook all day.
Right.
And we got to start using Insta, by the way. We can't just be the old Facebook.
I know. I told you that. I love Instagram.
I've anointed,
now.
Appointed.
But I need the password. Give me the password and I'll do it. So what we saw. What was it last? It was last Thursday. When did we see? It was the invited dress rehearsal of Kingdom of Dreams.
Kingdom of Dreams. So that would have been, we went on Thursday night. We went right after. After the show.
Right. Oh, it seems like a lifetime ago. A week ago. It's been crazy.
And so just to be back in the Parkland space was amazing.
It was so nice. It felt so great. And it was so much fun to go and look at the pictures because I haven't been in the Parkland Theater in over a year, which is a really long time for me. It's probably a long time for you too. And seeing the pictures on the wall and seeing my eldest kid and so many of them and you. And that's kind of fun to reminisce about old shows. While we got to see Kenny Chumbly's world premiere of his not really musical, but a play with music, Kingdom of Dreams.
Right.
And that was fun.
And they had just a three-show, one-weekend run. And
so it's over.
Really
so
good.
You can't go see it.
Yeah, you can't go see it.
Although maybe they'll do another showing of it some other time. I don't know what they have planned.
Right. And it might have just been for his own posterity. We should ask him. But there was
a pretty high-tech
effort was underway. Right. I don't know how successful it was, but multiple cameras, digital cameras, and that was just for the
back when I was
dress,
so. Involved in it. I think he talked about putting it online. So yeah. Because since he's the playwright, he gets to make that decision. So there's no like copyright issues if he does that. So I'll have to ask Kenny if he's planning on doing that.
That might give the opportunity to kind of streamline edit it because I know that he was even in, you know, as the dress rehearsal was progressing, he was even texting you, asking you what you thought, how it could be maybe tightened up a little bit.
Right. I mean, since we saw it dressed and we never got a chance to go back and see an actual show, you know, it was running a little bit long the night that we were there, but still there was a lot there to celebrate. And
he scored with the cast. I mean, it was really, really, really well done.
It was, I really, really liked AJ was the Tin Man. And I cannot wait to see him in more things. He's at the U of I. So we're kind of lucky that he had time because Kenny's show was over the summer. He had time and he happened to be in town. So hopefully I'll keep an eye out for him. And yeah, see
this
what
was,
else
this is not your in. Grandfather's Tin Man.
This was
a really wildly kind of like flamboyantly portrayed sidekick to the Scarecrow. The Scarecrow is the main character, and that was played by Brian Goode, somebody who we've loved seeing
from
him
the last 5 years.
Last 5 years, which was just about 2 years ago at the station. I've had a lot of really good memories of that show, which I saw, I think, three different times. and so Brian Goode was in it, and he is a Scarecrow, and then AJ is the Tin Man. We're just a really cool team, and I wonder, like, it would be fun to talk to Kenny about it, like, because it's that sort of, you know, off track kind of. Buddy show is kind of what it turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And more of a musical than I think when I'd last talked to him about it than he described him at his being. Like, I thought there were five songs maybe and that much more.
That was one of the things I heard from a lot of people, that they really enjoyed the music. So, right. And I know I did. I even suggested he turn it to a full-fledged musical because I think the music's pretty strong. And he had written for the show. So, yeah, I mean, it's like all original music, which is fun. So.
It was impressive, too, to have that strong of a musicality come out of a three-instrument pit.
Ensemble? Yeah, I guess.
I don't know, because it definitely wasn't the pit. They were off to the side. We could see the violinist and the pianist, which it's amazing how much
the pianist
the two
was
of
the
them
music
could
director.
Do.
Yeah, I know. We should definitely have like a post-mortem show with Kenny or maybe some others, and it was fun to see new faces and some familiar faces all on stage together. I felt pretty safe when we were there. We were masked and we were able to socially distance. I heard from others that they did not feel so safe when there was a bigger audience there. Since we were there during a dress rehearsal, it was pretty big for a dress rehearsal audience wise, but we had plenty of space. We were the only people in our row.
I think it helped to come in late. I mean, that was one thing also when even back last summer, we went to an outdoor musical, Something Rotten in Peoria. We had the advantage of coming in when the crowd was already pretty much established.
Right.
So there wasn't an awkward thing of like,
and we could choose our seats after people were already had sat down. So we could decide how far to be away from other people. But I heard some people actually left because the lack of masking.
Yeah.
So I was surprised, especially since it was at Parkland, that they didn't insist on masks. So that was because right now everybody should be wearing their masks again. You know, that's especially going to a musical. Obviously, none of the cast was masked, and there were.
Why
young
do you say
children.
Obviously?
Well, from the pictures, if people saw pictures.
Okay. But
right.
Okay.
Yes.
But
not I there was discussion whether they should be masked or not. Kenny just decided to not mask them. And there were children in the show that could not be vaccinated because they're too young. So I know that not everybody is vaccinated. So that was their choice. But, you know.
And it's ironic because Kenny was originally thinking of doing the show at Urbana High School, right?
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah, and then, so just recently, what Urbana High School did this last spring, they did a spring musical where everybody was masked.
Right.
For a musical.
Mm-hmm.
And the music was excellent.
Right.
And so
it can be done.
So,
yeah.
I think that what you see is a lot of people who maybe this is what Kenny's experience had been also, which is that sometimes it is hard to understand conversations when you're talking to somebody who's masked. If it's just a, you know, some sort of tight mask that they were given as a birthday present or something,
right.
Just some random mask, but they make performance masks.
Right.
It can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe if there's wider exposure to the successes that can happen, mm-hmm. it will be wider spread. But in any case, safety should be first.
Right.
People should leave if they don't feel safe.
Right. Right. And that's up to
And we everybody. Moved seats we when did. We went indoors to see the serial killer play. Why Charlie Manson, you are perfect,
perfect.
Which has now kind of stained one of my go-to lines. But but there we were kind of given assigned seats under some sort of socially distancing theory that was not very well executed, especially based on non-mask wearing. By the few people who weren't wearing masks were proximal to us, so we moved.
Right.
And if we hadn't been able to move, we probably would have left.
Right, definitely.
And that's the way.
Because at the time, I don't think my 13-year-old was vaccinated because we didn't have a vaccine for his age yet. So.
And when we saw our town, which is another thing, like 2.5 weeks ago or so, 3 weeks ago maybe, we saw the final dress of Our Town in Danville at the Fisher Theater. Paul Strain directed it, and it was great. I mean, the theater's so great. We were up in our own our own balcony, so that was, we're good there.
Yeah.
Also not a musical, so I don't think I have as many quarrels with the non-masking on stage. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there was, real like intimacy sort of issues. And again, that can all be handled within the cast. Right. I think it's what the audience is going to get when they come to a show like this. And the science is pretty clear on singing versus talking.
Right.
Being significant. And the Fisher Theater is so spacious, you can make that happen.
And every time we go anywhere, we wear a mask. So we were masked as audience, but it brings up issues like what are people going to do? And I think every group is making different decisions and things are changing really fast. Sadly in the negative direction right now, you know, things were looking really positive there for a while. So,
right. I saw Illinois indoor sports now are going to have to be masked. I don't know. Basketball, volleyball, going to have to be masked. So I don't know what the implications are going to be then for youth theater, which I think had been hoping. We need to talk to our local high school theater directors, mm-hmm. like LaDonna.
Missy Marquardt.
Yes.
Yeah, Missy Marquardt's going to be the Centennial Theater director.
Yeah, she did
moving from St. Thomas More.
Yeah.
Where she's been for years. So it'll be fun to see what she does differently. Probably, I'm guessing she probably has a bigger budget at Centennial and a lot more kids. So
Missy, if you're listening, we want to talk to you.
Right. Yeah, you should come on the show. I should reach out to her.
Yeah.
Personally.
Like, we shouldn't assume that she's tuning in.
Right this second. We talked to the Teen Spotlight kids last week.
That's right. So we weren't live in the studio last week.
Right.
For some reason.
Because I was like, how did we get to the dress rehearsal? How did we do that? Yeah. We pre-recorded our show. But I can't wait to see the three young women that we talked to are all going to possibly be involved in theater in their schools. So it'll be fun. That's so funny. We were talking about having a call-in show, and there's somebody calling.
It almost.
I don't. Anyway, I'm not going to be distracted. By that.
No, I'm not either. Yeah, we were going to even. I've even pulled up the thing about.
Yeah,
like, giving
we should do a call-in.
Yeah.
Anyway, Parkland has auditions coming up. Should we talk about auditions for a sec? Okay. In Champaign-Urbana, we'll start. Parkland has She Kills Monsters coming up, directed by Mike O'Brien, who's been on the show before. And that's Saturday, August 28th, from 9 until noon. And it looked like auditions are open to all community members.
Yeah, they're looking for 4 males and 6 to 8 females for the show, all between the ages of 15 and 30-ish. I'm not sure how important gender is for... I know that for some of the roles, it obviously is very important.
Right, but I think they're probably open to any options, so...
So those auditions, it's a short window.
Yeah,
it's
9 to noon.
9 to noon on Saturday the 28th. Mm-hmm. Callbacks will be that same day, so we're going to boom, boom,
boom, boom,
get this thing cast, and then the rehearsals begin, not until September 20th, and performances then in November 4th to the 14th. Oh, that's my slot where all my shows at Parkland have been in that time slot.
Oh.
So.
But you're a little bit over 30, so you're not going to audition.
Well, I guess you kind of just sold me out there.
Or were you going to try to pass? Well,
if you read the same thing I read, you see 30-ish.
30-ish.
No. I live a lot of my life on the ish edge.
I'm surprised they were even going to 30, because every time I've seen She Kills Monsters, it's usually a pretty young cast, but very cool. I like that show, and I like Mike O'Brien. I think it should be a good auditions for anybody who is interested.
And Parkland College or Parkland Theater encourages diversity. It's just good to see, like we talked about on a previous show, how Heartland just has at the very, you know, they have almost like a not a mission statement.
You mean Heartland or Coalescence?
No, I meant Heartland also. Okay. Coalescence, they live by that.
Right, right.
But Heartland is now, I mean, Coalescence was formed for the sole purpose of promoting, you know, great diversity and emphasis on BIPOC and in particular.
And LGBTQ ones. And yeah.
And, but on the, have very, Tartuffe,
is that what it is?
It's really close to that. But on the audition,
audition
call for that, there was a 2 or 3 sentence blurb about the importance and emphasis that they are putting into the giving opportunities to people of color.
And speaking of Heartland in Normal, Illinois, they have auditions coming up September 6th. And 7th from 7 to 10 p.m. for Human Terrain. And that sounds really interesting. It's do you want to say a little bit about
Well,
it?
I mean, but I think one of the exciting things for me about it and made me wish that Bloomington Normal was a little closer is that it's being directed by Sandy Zielinski, who directed me in Leading Ladies, which was the best show, the best cast, the best role, the best everything. Like, it can never, it's like why you don't want to have your best meal ever too early in life, because then you just, every meal after that is just kind of like, eh. So,
you just have to be
so
in
Sandy's amazing. And then I would, you know, one of the things that Sandy did is Sandy commuted every day to direct that show. So maybe people shouldn't be so afraid to commute every
people
day.
People should
to
not
act
be.
In that show. But it's an interesting show about the Iraq War, and I think, well, there's a psychological element to it.
And it's from the viewpoint of two females, one Iraqi and one American, which you don't see war from the viewpoint of females very often.
It's a story of war through two female lenses, that of an American and that of an Iraqi. Which is what you said.
It's what I just said. Yeah, that's fine.
I thought that if I read that, that there would be more. But I thought it was a good opportunity to mansplain something.
Right. Good job. Good job.
Because we should maybe hear about local theater through the lens of Linda Evans.
No, okay.
Right, exactly.
It's never been done before. And the performances for Human Terrain will be November 4th. I think is it a 3-week run?
Yeah.
It starts November 4th and ends on November 20th.
Right. There's 10 show dates. I don't know if they ever double up, but so the auditions, like you already said, and we will post on our website, are the 6th, 7th of September. And then rehearsals, I imagine, will begin pretty quickly if there's less than 2 months to get ready. There's mature stuff, obviously. It's a war movie. I'm sure there's ethical issues about violence and compassion and how you balance those things.
Right. And did you see the Red Mask Players? Last I saw, they're seeking a director for Playing with Fire. Did you see that?
I didn't.
Okay. That's all.
I know you started talking about it. Where did you?
I saw it on Facebook.
Okay.
So maybe, so I wanted to check with them to see if they're still seeking a director. Last I heard, they were seeking a director for that show. So we'll post that too. And that's all I wrote down. I don't have it up right now, so I won't read anything. But one of the things I've been really busy with and is lots
of fun. We've got more auditions to talk about, though, just to kind of keep this in segments.
Yes,
I know that it was my job as printing chairman
of the person of CU with the printer, the
show, was to print up the show synopsis. And I still will just go on and say once again that I really think we should have Parker or somebody with like the great voice give us some sort of.
Parker's like, my eldest, who just moved to LA to do film voice work, whatever people will hire him to do. So, but with voice work, he can do it from afar.
Yeah. So. Anyway, so I think we should have an audition segment and either have a fresh voice doing that update or have some cool, like Paul Schaefer sort of theme music to introduce it.
Guest, like people doing it, you know, different, I don't know.
That's true.
We'll think. We should think this through. I feel like we're not very organized today, even though we were prepared. But I still feel very scattered.
Yeah, but this is brave new terrain for us. We're going in guest free. We're just talking about theater.
We've done that before, but not.
It doesn't mean we're not brave.
Okay, we're brave.
All right, but here's one of the things I like about the next show that we're talking about, which is Elf, which DLO Danvilite Opera is doing. And their auditions for Elf. This is not Elf Junior. This is Elf All Growed Up.
Is
Thursday, the 19th of August through the 21st of August. So there's a big 3-day window with varied times. We're going to post the audition information for She Kills Monsters, Human Train, and Elf on our page later tonight. But one of the things that was cool here is Jerry Strain, who's a young actor who we've loved a lot, going back to Beauty and the Beast. We have seen him in other things, and most recently he was Edna in Hairspray last week out in
Although we didn't get Danville. To see that in person, but we did see the YouTube version.
We saw the YouTube version, which is amazing to watch, and we might post a clip of it because there's some really fantastic stuff. And major kudos to DLO for doing a show which was required a significant diversity and not shying away from it and delivering with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we're hoping our own community can learn from. But anyway, one of the things I liked about Jerry Strain, this is his first big directing effort, but he came to us and he was excited to tell us about it, make sure that we get the word out through our show. So anybody else who is out there and there are projects that they're working on, want to get word out more about things, we're happy to just talk about them briefly, post about them, or have you on the show and you can tell people about them. But let us know if there's a project you want to be highlighted. And so Elf, I haven't actually seen I've seen the junior version when
I've seen the movie.
Parkland Youth Theater did it.
Yeah.
But
because Wade in Elf?
Yes, he was. He had a very strange name. He was one of the guys who worked for the dad and kind of had to. They were coming up with really horrible ideas for children's books. It was a pretty funny role, actually. You remember those guys in the movie? They'd come in and they'd say, "We got an idea for a show about a tomato that doesn't have legs." Isn't that funny?
Right, yeah.
So anyway, check out our Facebook page for details on that, or you can just go to DLO's Facebook page and or website. Cool. Props to Jerry Strain, the director, as he said that he wasn't going to do the show if the entire cast wasn't vaccinated. There was pushback. Jerry won. So it says right there in the audition notes, the director requires all cast members be vaccinated against COVID-19 unless they have a documented medical exception. Thank you for keeping Vermilion County safe for the arts.
Yeah, kudos. Well done. Kudos to him.
Segue to what?
Other people who are doing safe things. I'm involved with John Iceberg's latest film. I don't think we've talked about having him on the show, and we've never had him on the show. And this is like going into film territory instead of theater, which we don't go into very often. But this is a really fun project. It's a full-length horror film. And the more people do film in this community, which we have a lot of directors and we've had a lot of short films created, but full-length films are a whole different beast, and they're so, they're more expensive and more time-consuming and all sorts of things. But the more people do it, then the more actors have opportunities and crew have opportunities. And, you know, who knows, maybe Champaign Urbana could be more of a film space. We're already much more of a place for film than it ever was when we were kids. So it's kind of fun to see the film community growing.
Well, Pens to Lens is responsible for a lot of that. Yeah. And even I've been out with you a couple times to the set, and it's amazing, but it also just in talking to people and how they got involved with John, how they got involved in film. So many of them say, well, Pens to Lens.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, it's amazing. And so many directors put so much time and energy, and so many kids and teachers were involved with Pens to Lens. So it's great to see some of these kids have grown up, including my own, with Pens to Lens, and then they start doing their own films. And that's how theater grows. That's how film grows. That's how the arts grow. If you get kids involved and you give them opportunities, and then they want to learn more and they want to do more, and then they grow into adults who want to, you know, do actual projects or teach others. And just, you know, it's just so much fun. I guess it also shows how long we've been around in this community, that there's so many kids that we've seen grow up in maybe the Park District plays that are now, you know, teaching kids of, you know, theater in their own right and things like that, like Isabella Dallas, and, you know, so many people that we've seen grow up and go on to bigger and better things. So, mm-hmm.
And it was fun. And one of the things that was fun to see while we were out watching the movie being made was how many local actors that we know from the
stage who are
involved in
this. So Final Summer is the name of the film, and Matthew Green, Jace Jameson, and Eric Beckley are all people that we've either talked about on the show or had on the show in the past. All of them have been on the stage at the Station Theater, and I'm sure, and there's others too.
Joy, who directed me in Pride and Prejudice, yeah, and has appeared in
many things
yeah, at the Station.
Right. And then Jenna Cohn,
who also in the last 5 years, right, as we talked about with, right, Brian Good. So, and we're probably missing some.
We are. I know I am. So many theater people. I like how they're also involved in film now too. So
right. And it's great. And it's not out of ego. It's not out of money. It's out of supporting another, or having another opportunity and supporting somebody who's doing something big and brave.
Right. And it's also, it's a very different medium. It's very different type of acting. And it's, you know, short, we have like a 3 week, like a very short window to get things filmed, and then it goes into editing, and then it's not going to be 2022 before anyone sees it. So
right,
very different from theater.
And some days it rains.
Yeah. Like today it's rainy and things like that.
Some days
so,
it's windy. And
so once it's actually in the can, as they say, we'll have John come on.
Yeah. I'd love to hear about like how he got started, like what his exposure was and how because you've said that one of the reasons that you feel obligated to some degree to get involved with him is because he has worked he's given your kids lots of opportunities. And he's taught them.
Right.
Things.
Right. I mean, I'm not just obligated. I love working with him, but yes, like he's given so much to the community. And one of the things I'm helping with is raise money. So if anyone's interested in supporting in different ways, let me know, because, you know, it's not too late to get involved in a support role, mm-hmm, if you want. And for future, if people are interested in supporting future films, I know more now, like the things that all films will need, like, you know, food donated or supplies and things like that, just like we do for theater. So it's about time for us to go.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us on See You at the Show. We're really excited about the things we've gotten to see, the things that are in the pipeline, the opportunities for actors coming up that started the new school year, and the making a movie right here in Central Illinois. So if you have ideas, you can Facebook
message us. Or projects that you have. that are coming up.
Yeah, let us know, and we will be happy to promote them. Check out our Facebook page for all the details that we blew by you today about upcoming shows and auditions, and we'll see you next week.